87 degrees in downtown Denver. Good afternoon, Colorado. Midway through the week, it's Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. And 87 degrees downtown, beautiful. Up and down the Front Range, Stephen Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls, Lori Kelman in the newsroom. We begin our trek tour just before 7 o'clock tonight, and there's like a lot. There's a lot of stories to talk about. I'm going to start with the homeless overall just because, and within the last 45 minutes, I had an encounter with a man who probably looked a hell of a lot older than he really was. I'll talk about that. We've got a Madam X update. They know her name. 11 days ago, Madam X allegedly shot five people outside of a Lotto bar Saturday night. About 11:14 p.m., two Saturdays now have passed, well, two Saturdays ago, and we'll give you an update. The Colorado GOP, in apparently trying to kickstart its new, under Dave Williams, the state GOP chair, has announced its keynoter. I mean, who better to have and to try to rally the troops together and make sure that people who may not be as far to the right as they'd like, but the conservative bent, maybe middle of the road, tending to lean toward the right, who better to bring in than Carrie Lake? Carrie Lake, everyone. Yes, of Arizona. Jim and I will actually, Jim doesn't know this, but we're going to get into it. Not between the two of us, but California Governor Gavin Newsom, you see this gun tax bill that he signed? There's just no sugarcoating it, and they don't even care if they appear to be just flat out wanting to just abolish the Second Amendment. Guns are bad. You are bad. You are horrible. Forget the Second Amendment. The gun tax. It's crazy. And I think just because there's just so much to talk about, before I start with the homeless, is the White House dog commander really a bad dog?
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
I mean, for the 11th time in 2 years, the first dog has bitten a member of the United States Secret Service for the 11th time. And because you know where I fall politically, I'm not blaming the dog.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
I think you blame the owner. Now, here's the sad part. I'm sure, by the way, Commander is probably one of the dogs out there, other dogs have dog envy. You know, there's no dog in the country, maybe the world, that is probably treated better than Commander, the White House dog. Did you know, though, Biden doesn't even know he has a dog? He thought it was a cat. Multiple ways to get in touch with us. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Text the studio via the free-to-download app. You can listen live stream audio via the app or the website, 710knus.com/Stephan, via both of those avenues. You can listen to us commercial break-free podcast. You can listen to live stream anywhere. Welcome our potential global audience. We are on social media, and that is where I will start, at Tubbs Show, T-U-B-B-S Show, Facebook, and Twitter. I was just telling Jim before we started the program, I don't know, certainly at Decay Denver on Twitter or now X, I don't think we've ever had a tweet, a post that has been seen more times in just about 27 hours or so for us, little Denver and Decay Twitter site, more than 9,000 views of my 30 seconds driving up Logan, getting to the corner of 8th and Logan, just across the street from the governor's mansion. And I think it's because there are more people, maybe even than I would have hoped, there are more people, and I know Twitter is not the barometer for society. I understand that. But I also know that with with 9,000 plus views and I think more than 100 retweets and all kinds of interaction and commentary made, I think there are more people out there that are like you and me. They are frustrated. Maybe they just don't make their voices heard as much. I'm telling you, now is the time. And I'm not just saying today. I'm not saying even this year. I'm just saying in general, please don't go quietly. Take a page from the friends on the left. You know, let's cause some good trouble. Enough is enough. Again, our number 303-696-1971. So I want to start with the homeless because, damn it, everywhere you look, I mean, I don't know how many different, it truly is like whack-a-mole. We are technically, as a station, we are near 225 and Parker. We technically are in the city of Aurora. But right across the street, you have land, and we've talked about this many times, the off-ramp to Parker Road if you're going northbound on 225. Again, get the visual with me. 225 northbound, you're getting off at Parker, and you're going to be, say you go south on Parker Road. Well, if you're on the right-hand side, right there across is the dam road, and then you've got Cherry Creek Reservoir on the other side of that, obviously. Well, there's a little stretch of grass that we were told years ago was supposed to be covered in gigantic boulders because that land is operated, maintained by CDOT. But this is like a quagmire right here. It's like a really crappy, horrible tasting soup. We technically are in the city of Aurora. Denver ain't too far away. It's city limits. You've got the Army Corps of Engineers that controls Cherry Creek Reservoir and the dam. You've got CDOT that has a little sliver of land. You've got the State Parks Department that has Cherry Creek State Park. And you've got these jurisdictions. And every time we have talked about this on the air, I hope you get the visual that it's like that weird Spider-Man meme. Spider-Man and Spider-Man are pointing at each other. But in this case, there's like five Spider-Men pointing all at each other like, this isn't our problem. It's him. It's him. It's him. It's them. It's them. Why do I bring this up? Because just here at 225 and Parker, it's like whack-a-mole. It's like the most perfect example of whack-a-mole you can get with homeless. 2 days, there's 15 tents, and it looks like it's a little city. Then the next day, it's gone. Then somebody has their tents underneath the Parker Road overpass. And then it's around the corner. Then it's off of Parker Road's exit from 225. It's just a joke. Then it'll stretch down Hampton for a while. And then there's yesterday at 8th and Logan. I'll get to that in a moment because I will be even more sarcastic and an attempt to at least make you smile because it's if you don't smile or laugh at this, I mean, I don't know if you'll cry, but I mean, it's just enough to pull your hair out. But let me tell you, I had an appointment earlier this afternoon. It was late this afternoon, actually. And so I'm coming back to the station a little bit later than I wanted, and I blame completely the person I met was 30 minutes late. Love the guy, though. So I am driving down 6th, about to take 225 South. It's a beautiful day out. My front right passenger window was rolled down, and I did not notice anyone standing on the corner. I'm at a red light. I'm the first car. And all of a sudden I hear, and I didn't have my radio on very loud, and I hear, "Hey man, I like your car." I kind of 1001 looked over. It's a dude with his pants falling down, unshaven, looked dirty, looked healthy, shirtless, and he's holding a sign, "Homeless will work for food." And before I get too sarcastic with the next update on 8th and Logan, I'm like, good God, Lord, of all the times this week that I'm at a red light and I'm going to get into, I mean, I could have rolled up my window. I wasn't going to. I could have given him a $10 bill. I wasn't going to. So I'm at a red light, and it was a fairly long light. So I looked over, and I said, thanks, when he said, "Nice car." And he said, hey, and I'm going to try to almost quote what I remember. I don't know. Do you have anything small that you could give? And I said, brother, I'm not giving you anything, but I can give you a couple of suggestions on where to go for help. Well, of course, look, and if you're rolling your eyes right now, I'm rolling my eyes with you. I know that he, what is he, do I think he's going to get out a pen and paper and write? Oh, thank you, sir. No, I don't. But he kind of hems and haws. And I said, there are programs out there right now that can get you out of this situation and off this street corner. And you know what? To his credit, he didn't flip me off. He didn't lunge at the car. He didn't spit at me or spit at the car. But sadly, he said the following. Yeah, man, I just don't know if any. I don't. These. Nobody cares out there. People just want us to die out here. And I just flat out, as soon as he said die out here, I said, that is not true. And I'm going to tell you, you may not believe me, but the good Lord knows I'm telling the truth. I looked at him and I pointed my finger and I said, brother, your life matters. But you've got to get out of this situation. This is all, by the way, I'm not kidding. This is all at a red light. And he said, I don't know. I just don't have any place to go. I don't trust anybody here. I don't trust these shelters or whatever. And I literally said to him, then go to Denver. Just go like half a mile up the road. I said, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Trust me, I know this. Light turned green, and I said, God bless you, brother. And that was it. And I know I'm not the only one that has had encounters today in the metro area with a homeless man or woman. But I am telling you, if you even remotely, kinda, even trust me just a little bit, would you please look yourself in the mirror and stop feeling guilty? Do not give them money. When I started this program, I think, like almost 6 years ago, I was still given a dollar if I was, I had a transformation. And my certain situation was, if you remember, if you were with us, maybe an original member of the radio club, I got burned on top of I-25, waiting to turn left to go southbound on 25. And dude is standing there with a sign that says, United States veteran, homeless. Well, he found my soft spot. All I had was a 20. Oh, yeah. Right now, Jim's like doing the miming of casting a fishing rod and then reeling me in. Oh, yeah, he got me hook, line, and sinker. And I start going, you know, brother, what about the VA? What are you? How about this? There are programs. I mean, it was six years ago. As I, you know, this is not a fun light to wait on and get the green light. And I give him a $20 bill. And I said, well, where were you? And I started to kind of think, this guy is full of, well, shit. Yeah. And as I'm pulling away and he already has my $20 bill, he says, yeah, man, I really didn't serve. It's just a good way to get money. And I was like, God, you never knew my. And I still had to go. I didn't stop. Could you imagine that? Give me my 20 back. 303-696-1971. So some of you may be aware that there is a guy named Keith Morrison. He does those crime. What did he do? You know. If you know, you know. He's a longtime LA news guy. I think he was at KNBC in Los Angeles. So I'm going to try with first and foremost asking for your grace, but I want to do something to tell you how, as we get ready for traffic and weather, how Narcan 9 handled the homeless, it's not a sweep, the homeless cleanup at 8th and Logan yesterday near the governor's mansion. So, Jim, I think we're going to do it. I'm going to do this in a Keith Morrison-esque way. 70 people living in homeless camp. Moved to temporary housing in converted hotel. For the first time after Denver cleared a homeless encampment, the city offered people a place to sleep inside. Oh, by the way, that was just the headline and the subhead of the Narcan 9 story. And then the online recap from yesterday. When the city showed up to clear a homeless camp Tuesday morning, they found a lot of belongings. But few of the people who owned them. Nearly everyone had already moved out on Monday. For the first time, Denver offered hotel rooms to people living on the streets. Instead of sweeping the camp and moving the tents to a different street corner, people were offered the opportunity to move inside to a hotel. Dolores slept in a... Jim, I can't have eye contact with you. Dolores slept in a bed for the first time in months Monday night. When the city came through last week and told her they planned to sweep the camp, she took them up on their offer for shelter. Said Dolores, "Today I'm sleeping in a hotel room with my dog on a bed. With a toilet, which is amazing, and water running. It's just different," said Dolores. You forget the little things that matter when you're just trying to get through the day. In here, things are different. No drugs, no alcohol, no visitors, not even family. Mayor Mike Johnston is betting people are willing to follow those rules in exchange for shelter and services. Every person swept from a homeless camp will be offered a place like this to live instead of their tent. Said Dolores, "To have this happen, it's miraculous, really. I really feel safe here," said Dolores. "That's a miracle. That's amazing." Well, that was pretty good, Jim, for just, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very, very much. What have I told you for years and years and years and years and years? But you're smarter than even me. You know this is the type of story that Narcan 9 will do. Did anybody by chance watch this piece last night when it aired? I didn't and I won't, so don't send me a link. But I wonder if it took the sad piano music. Now, I hope that Dolores and her dog, I hope they start a new life. If all Dolores needed was a kitchen, a toilet, running water, and a bed, I wish this person as a God-fearing American the best. Now, what you didn't probably hear was, Dolores, do you have a drug problem? Dolores, are you addicted to substances or alcohol? Are you really going to follow the no drugs, no alcohol policy? Is Dolores possibly wanted in another county on an arrest warrant or another state? See, you won't hear that because the local Denver and Decay media would never give you the full story. In fact, I'm surprised in this sad piano music piece read by Keith Morrison Dubs. I'm surprised that we didn't even have a paragraph on where did Dolores live? Where was Dolores born? How old is Dolores? How did Dolores get to the streets of Denver literally in a tent, literally at 8th and Logan. Don't buy the bullshit. And if it is what Narcan 9 wants you to think, here's just a woman down on her luck. She's got a dog. And finally, for the first time in months, she gets to sleep in a bed with a pillow. Well, then that's great. But if you think that every single story in this godforsaken Denver and Decay is like that, you are as wacky as anybody. That'd be like saying every single illegal coming across the border today has never done anything wrong and all they want to do is plant flowers and work hard and send their kids to school and pay their taxes and, you know, fly the American flag. You know you're just getting snowed. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. We'll preview the rest of the program after traffic and weather. And on the other side, I want to get into this California gun tax. It's unbelievable. And remember, even though we've got, I think, 27 shows left, including today, or 26 after tomorrow, or after today. Colorado is California's little brother, and we'll tell you what Gavin Newsom did just yesterday. That comes up next. 32 minutes after 4 o'clock, beautiful up and down the Front Range. It sucks, doesn't it, Jim, that when we leave by, you know, between 7 and 7:30, it's dark. Stinks. The days only get colder from here. Welcome back to the program. Thank you. Coming up in about an hour, a real coup. Somebody currently employed, at least part-time, by Devil Radio will join us. As long as I say the right things and give his official title, I can have my friend Ed Henderson on. He is a Rockies insider for the KOA Rockies. I actually am saying this like normal. It's weird. For the KOA Rockies Radio Network, and I love those guys over there. Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan and Ed Henderson. Ed, I love because he is a baseball scout. Hashtag we are not a sports show. This comes the day after the Rockies lose their 100th game of the year. And Ed is a space nut like me.
100 meters to go. The crew being told to brace for touchdown.
Object getting close to touchdown.
Object. Touchdown. Touchdown confirmed at 6:17 a.m. Central Time. Rubio's record ride comes to an end as he, Prokopyev, and Patillon return to Earth after a 371-day, 157 million-mile journey at the International Space Station.
Getting used to gravity again after more than a year in space, 371 days to be exact, is a major challenge, but Frank Rubio says he and his two Soyuz crewmates are feeling about as good as could be expected after their landing in Kazakhstan. Their mission is the third longest in space history and the longest single flight ever for a NASA astronaut. The world endurance record is held by the late cosmonaut Valery Polyakov, who spent 438 days aboard the old Mir space station back in the 1990s.
Bill Harwood is the CBS News space consultant. So that's a roundabout way of saying I'm really happy that we've got my friend Ed Henderson as part of the farewell tour, a man that has been very good to me over the years. He's awesome. Great radio voice, great radio presence. And we'll talk baseball. We'll talk space coming up at about 5:30. In the meantime, international news with obviously a lot of interest here in the United States. What is with this Korea dude and, well, the American that ran over North Korea?
Private Travis King bolted across the border in July when he was supposed to be flying back to the U.S. from South Korea to face disciplinary charges. He was said to have wanted refuge in North Korea because of maltreatment and racial discrimination in the U.S. Army. He has now been taken into custody in China. He's said to be in good health and good spirits.
Part of me just wants to go, keep him. Just keep him. It's probably more punishment than he would get either at a base in South Korea or here back here in the good old USA. Speaking of the good old USA, my home state of California. No, I had nothing to do with it. That's where I popped out. February 18th, 1969. It was not by choice. You ever thought about the fact that you really had no choice where you were born either? And I love California parts. I hate Colorado politics. California politics, Colorado politics. But this is just unbelievable. You may have seen this just yesterday. California Governor Gavin Newsom. Would he be like the brother of Jared Polis, so to speak? The uncle? The dad? Because Colorado's California's little brother. Newsom signs a law that will double the taxes on guns and ammo in California. The new revenue, I mean, it's almost, yes, it is laughable. The new revenue going to safety initiatives. It's like the White House last Friday when I just happened to be in D.C., the White House having its Office of Gun Violence Prevention. Good luck. Jim, can I have a sidebar? I'm going to take it. Heard today on NPR. Yes, I listen to NPR. I listen to other stations. I listen all the time to Kuvo. So Kuvo Jazz has NPR at the top of the hour. They have a report from some dude out of either Eugene or Salem or Portland, Oregon. And he's talking about how, like, more than a year later, after the states of Washington and Oregon have basically legalized that you can have a certain amount of pretty much anything you want, and no problem. NPR, it had to be tough for somebody at their assignment desk in Washington. The story was basically, yeah, after a year plus and after doctors and authorities analyzed the data, there's been no improvement. I.e., they said crime had not risen. Right. But they said that there's basically the drastic reduction in drug crimes, et cetera, by legalizing it. They thought this would just basically disappear. Well, these people are just using recreationally. It had to really pain NPR to do the report today that after a year plus, they analyzed the data and Oregon and Washington, it really didn't matter much. Anyway, back to California. The government collects excise taxes on purchases of firearms and ammo. That's usually 10 or 11%. This new law now, and again, this is not a proposal. This is now the law of the land in California. It adds another 11% excise tax. What does that mean in general? And Jim and I were talking about this off the air. It just depends on the county or the city that you're in California. Somebody could be, hey, boy, you got to go buy your groceries there, or maybe not groceries, but buy this or that there because they're only at 7.75% sales tax. You know, don't go there because they're almost at 10. What this means is just for wanting to buy a firearm or ammo in California in certain spots, residents will indirectly pay as much as 22% more than they did say. Well, and I don't know when this goes into law. I'm sure it's probably, if they had their way, it would have gone into law yesterday or the day before. But you see what they're doing here? You are the villain. And if you are a gun enthusiast, if you are a single mom who wants ammo and a handgun, we're going to get you. I guess you can buy out of state, but I mean, Jim and I'm not an expert in that. Can you just go buy and then just say, go to Colorado, go to Utah, go to Nevada, buy? I guess. I mean, what are they going to do? They're not searching you at the border, but anyway, it's just crazy. And then it's the sad piano music, which I'm not going to play, the sad piano music from the governor. Here was one of his quotes yesterday. Listen to this quote: "The carnage, it's too much. We can't normalize it. We can't accept it. This is a small price to pay." Close quote. California Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday. You can't normalize it. You can't accept it. You will not make they just don't get it. You could ban firearms and ammunition in California starting in 3, 2, 1. Right now, everything forward, everything is illegal. Do they think that that's going to cut down on crime and violence and mass shootings? They're complete, complete idiots. What else did he say? Well, this is almost a given. California, now the only state in the country that has a special tax on gun purchases. And I ask you, friends, how much longer before Colorado does the same thing? Need I remind you that the 2024 State Assembly will reconvene in January of 2024. Republicans are far, far outnumbered. The left, the Dems, have a supermajority here in Colorado. Jim, I won't be around to say I told you so, but I guarantee you what California did, they're going to debate it in Colorado next legislative session. Mark my freaking words. Let's get to Jack in Wyoming, and then we'll get to traffic, weather, and news. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, Stefan, I hear you're leaving. That's kind of a shame because you've gotten so good lately.
Well, thanks. Your calls have improved over the months as well.
Reciprocality is always welcome. What are you going to be doing? Documentaries, I hope.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're in, and I don't want to bore people that have heard, but we are about 75% done in filming our latest documentary film. And in fact, tomorrow we'll unveil, not that many people will care, but we will unveil the title and give you the exact date of when it's going to come out. But it is focused on fentanyl's deadly impact on Colorado. And it is, Jack, yeah. It's just something that I could not have the ability to get a good team together to do good documentary films. I can't let this one go. So that's what I'll be doing. And we're looking at sometime in May 24 for a release. I'm not going back over to KOA. I'm not going to KYGO. I'm not going to KUVO. I'm retiring from radio Friday, November 3rd.
Are you going to relocate or are you going to stay in Colorado?
I'm going to stay in Colorado, at least for now. I got to get all the free publicity for this film I can get. I just want to be able to, you know, call on some favors from people I know in this industry and in television and radio here. But, I want to make this is not going to be behind a paywall. It's going to be available all over social media, on YouTube. We're going to enter it in film festivals. So God's telling me to do this, and I'm going to listen.
Well, you did a good job on the Denver one, so you ought to do a good job. And this one's probably, if anything, more important.
Yep. Jack, thank you. I think it is. Anything else?
That's all.
All right, brother. Thanks, brother. Take care. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. When we come back, just a little bitty update on Bribery Bob. You know, Menendez, Democrat, senator. At least 15 senators, including Banjo and the silent workhorse, want Menendez to resign. Wow, how bold. And then there is on our Facebook page, I'm not telling you to create an account, but if you have Facebook, we played a little game of I Spy today because, I mean, when Mayor Pete is in town and the current Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, is in town announcing a $50 million improvement project for DIA. Well, everybody's going to show up. And so we've got a funny picture, and it's kind of an I Spy. So you can see that. That's a gift for you from us if you want to play the I Spy game. But, yeah, Mayor Pete in town. We'll hear from him. We'll hear about Bribery Bob, and we'll head toward the top of the hour. That is next on 710 KNUS. 8 minutes away from the top of the hour. I'm Stephen Tubbs. So glad that you're with us and so appreciative of your time. And we will continue the farewell tour coming up next hour. My longtime friend Ed Henderson, he is a baseball scout. No, like a legitimate baseball scout. Hashtag we're not a sports show. He's also a space nut. We'll talk about that. And my thanks. And I'm being serious. My thanks to my former employer over at Devil Radio for letting my friend, who is under contract with them, come on to this very radio program, Ed Henderson, about 5:30. I'm not sure if within the last several minutes you had time to go to our Facebook page and actually see the I Spy game. The I Spy game, it's one guy on one end of a blue ribbon that says DEN for Denver as far as the airport code. You got one guy on one end and another worker on another. And then you've got Mayor Mike.
I haven't done anything yet.
Johnston with, by the way, a Denver and Decay belt buckle. Uh-huh. And then you've got this guy, Mayor Pete.
America has the safest, most complex aviation system in the world, and maintaining that safety record takes a lot of work. When aircraft have to taxi through a zone that puts them close to the approach onto a runway, that is a hazard that can be eliminated if we have better airport design. That's exactly what we're supporting right here at Denver International Airport. $50 million going into constructing a new, safer taxiway. And another $30 million going to 2,300 LED lights that are going to...
I'll tell you, Mayor Pete, $50 million for a taxiway? I mean, in Eisenhower's day, seriously, I'm going into the weeds. Did the interstate system cost $50 million like in the 50s? Anyway, $50 million for a taxiway because, you know, it's taxpayer funded. We got the money. So anyway, in the iSpy game, you've got from you got the two workers on the end holding up the deal. Then you've got four people holding scissors, you know, like they're going to cut the ribbon. You got Mayor, I haven't done anything yet. You've got Mayor. He wasn't very successful on the presidential campaign trail. But, you know, Mayor Pete, now the Secretary of Transportation. And then you have Governor Jared.
I don't follow Denver politics.
Polis. And then you've got kind of almost out. It's not out of frame, but like uncomfortably too far away from Polis is Phil Washington. And if you don't know who Phil Washington is, he is butthurt like Merrick Garland is butthurt. Phil Washington was going to be promoted, what, to the, they wanted him to be the head of the FAA or something. And the Senate said, no, not this guy. No. So anyway, of those four, Mayor, I haven't done anything, Mayor Pete, Governor Polis, and Phil Washington, which of those four have pretty much, and you can see it if you zoom in, both shoes untied? Let me tell you, it's not Phil Washington. Bribery Bob.
This will mark the first court appearance for Senator Menendez as since he was indicted last week. A short time ago, he did arrive here at the federal courthouse with his wife, Nadine, who is also charged, by the way. So we know that the senator has maintained his innocence.
Attention, Bribery Bob. How do you explain away in this smear campaign
the gold bars? How do you explain that away? Ouch.
This is really a very difficult situation for the senator because politically he is facing a lot of calls for his resignation, but he insists even in spite of this court challenge and legal battle he is now facing that he will continue to do his job in Washington.
Not for long. Not for long. When your own governor is saying, you know what, you better step down.
Yeah, the governor of New Jersey has called for his immediate resignation. About half of New Jersey's congressional delegation has said he should step down. And then now in the Senate, about half of the Democratic caucus is also calling for him to step down, including a New Jersey Senator Cory Booker.
No.
Who has said that these allegations were very troubling and to the point where he almost doesn't, it's hard for him to reconcile that with the person that he knows.
Was former presidential candidate Cory Booker? He wants you out? Dude, you're screwed. Bribery Bob, good luck. Coming up here at the top of the hour, news with Lori Kelman, of course, and then top stories. I think I'll recap for you. Maybe or maybe not with sad piano music. There's my take on how that cleanup at 8th and Logan outside the governor's mansion went, and then there's Narcan 9's take. I might just have to get into that next. Stay with us.